I've grown to love Brother Dale and his family, and I've treated him to some of the finer cuisine of Rochester, New York. Pots and potatoes and garbage plates, amen. Although, Amy, don't talk while I'm talking, sis. All right? Behave yourself now. You know better than that. Because you're not at your home church doesn't mean you can do whatever you want. Sis, I want you to know the fear of Amy when you were in Belfast, probably in school, and he was up here, and your husband said, "No, Pastor G, I got to behave myself tonight. I need something healthy." When I picked him up at the jail for lunch, several weeks ago. And we went into the hood. Did he tell you about Magic Wings? I mean, this place is in the hood.
It's the hood.
Some of the best food is in the hood.
Yeah, that's right.
All right? And we went to that place, and they make a killer salad. You saw a picture of it, right? Now, if you're nice, I'll get you one of those salads this week. All right? But you got to do fruit meat for repentance, amen. So, no, I call them little honey holes. I know where all these little places are. Some of them are very unassuming, but man, you'll walk away knowing you ate some food. Right now, we need some soul food.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. We need some soul food.
Yeah, amen.
And even though Brother Dale's a redneck, he's going to preach. Amen.
Yeah.
All right. Brother Dale,
amen.
Come preach, brother.
Yes, sir, brother.
All right, we need it.
Thank you.
Be hard on us.
Oh,
in Jesus' name.
We'll see what the Lord has. This morning we're over in
is this yours, brother?
Rodriguez Church.
Yes.
Is that yours? Oh, you want to hear?
Yeah, she's recording it.
Oh, okay. Just don't step on it, brother.
Yeah,
I hate to see you spend $80 on a new screen.
No. And Pastor Rodriguez Church, and it was a good morning, and I believe the Lord was in the message. We had somebody... he's got a bilingual church, and so as I preached, he would interpret for me, you know, put it out there. So I had to get in a rhythm. It was kind of hard because, you know, when the Lord gets you on fire and you're preaching, and then all of a sudden you have to stop for a minute because he's got to, you know, give in Spanish what I was trying to preach. It was kind of an odd thing for me to do, but, you know, the Lord really blessed that, and he got me to get a nice rhythm going where me and him could work together. So. Who knows? Maybe I'm going to do that again one day, somewhere else. I don't know why the Lord would have that, but I thank God that He done it. The message I'm going to preach tonight, I had no clue why God had me choose this message. It was, I think, Wednesday evening or Thursday morning. I said, "Lord, what am I going to preach at the Gospel Light Baptist Church? I need something." So the Lord gave me this out of Joshua. If you would turn there to Joshua chapter 6, we're going to read a few verses there. But our main text is going to be in Joshua chapter 7. So if you would turn there. As the days went on, I realized why God gave me this message. I realized today why God needed this message to be preached. And so here I am, and we'll see what the Lord does with it. And I hope He'll use it for His glory. This is His word. And it says it will not return void, but it will accomplish what He would have it accomplish. You understand? This is not Dale Morey's word. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Him. This is God's word. And this is what He would have to go forth. And so when you get there, we're going to get to Joshua chapter 6. And I want to read a few verses in there. Joshua chapter 6, starting in verse 17. And I want to show you here a victory at Jericho. And it says, "And the city shall be accursed." 6:17. "And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein. To the Lord only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are in her house, because she hid the messengers that went that we sent. Verse 18, it says, "And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when you take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse, and trouble it." Verse 19 says, "But all the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So we see here they're having victory. They just did exactly what God said. He gave them victory. They yelled at the wall. It crumbled down. He says, now all that stuff belongs unto the Lord. It's separated unto him. And anybody who takes it is going to be accursed. Well, we're dealing with human beings. Guess what? After that wonderful victory, if you go to chapter 7, starting in verse 1, you're going to see here, it says, but the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, and the son of Zerah, the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And so we see that here we're going to deal with what is the accursed thing in your life. What is the hidden accursed thing that's in your life that you will not allow God to show you? What is that thing that God has said, hey, you leave that alone. Do not bring that into your camp. And you've ignored them and you've brought it into your camp. We read in chapter 7, verse 1 here, we read that man didn't know what was happening. They just had a great victory. They're celebrating. Everything is wonderful. God just gave us a victory in our life. We had this big defeat. We didn't think it could ever happen. And God gave it to us. And now God is about to show them that he has found this person out. Nobody told God who had the accursed thing. God already knew. Let me just say this tonight as you sit in these pews. There is something in your life that's the accursed thing that God is trying to get in your life. And you won't let him there. You may think that you're hiding it from God, but he's exposing it.
He don't want it in your camp. Listen, this goes for the saved person or the unsaved. What is that hidden accursed thing that you have brought into your camp?
Christian, if God has given you victory lately, what have you brought in that he does not want in there? What have you tried to hide in that thing? Unsaved person?
God wants to reveal that hidden accursed thing if you'll let him. He wants to show it to you. He wants to expose it.
In chapter 6, they were instructed on what to do, and they had the victory. By the time chapter 7, God is letting them know that someone has took the accursed thing, and they've hid it. God knows who it is, and he's about to reveal to them what and who it is.
If we're honest with ourselves, we'd ask ourselves, what is that hidden accursed thing that's in my life tonight?
You see, when God gives me messages, Pastor G., it's because God is challenging me with this message. You see, God gave me this message before he gave it to you. So what do you think? You don't think God challenged me with this message? What is that thing that was in my life that God didn't like?
What was that hidden accursed thing?
How many of us are sitting here right now in this room knowing that we haven't hidden the accursed thing in our life? God will reveal it. The Bible says in Mark chapter 4, verse 22 and 23, it says, for there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested. Neither was anything kept secret, but it shall come abroad. Verse 23 says, if any man have ears, to let him hear. You may have ears. You may hear, but what you're hearing is sound. You're not listening. I'll tell you the difference. If you listen, that means when you hear the sound, instruction comes out or the word comes out, and if all you're doing is hearing, you'll blow it off. You'll leave this church. You'll leave this church. You'll leave this church the same way you came in. God help us to leave this church, leave this service differently than when we came in here. But if you listen to what God is telling you, you'll leave here a different person because it demands an action.
James 1:22 says, do not be just hearers of the word, but doers. Doers. A doer is somebody who has listened.
They have played this thing over in their head. They have played this thing over in their heart. And they have made the decision that I'm going to do that. I'm going to listen to what God has told me, and I'm going to work this out.
Proverbs 20:27 says, it's a spirit. God has put a spirit in every one of us.
You can cross-reference that with the book of John. It says God has put a spirit in every man and woman that was ever born. So God has put a spirit in the man inside of us.
And you know what that spirit is? It says in Proverbs 20:27, that spirit is a candle to light the inward parts of the belly. What does that mean? It's that accursed thing that God is trying to show you. You won't let him. It's the accursed thing that you've hidden in that camp.
He's trying to bring it to light.
What are we reaching for? We reach for the physical. As human beings, naturally, we go for the physical.
God is trying to deal with us on a spiritual level. Let me say this. God's not trying to deal with any single person in here with something he's already shown you. He's trying to deal with you on something that you refuse to see. Something you don't know that he does. Do you think God has to search your heart to know what's going on in your heart? Or do you think he's searching that heart to show you what's going on? For sure he knows. For sure that hidden thing has been found out. This hidden accursed thing will give you a false sense of pride, which will keep you thinking that you're okay and that you can continue to get away with it. That's what happens. This hidden accursed thing, this hidden sin gets in your life, and guess what? You think that you're okay. You think that God is I keep this thing hidden and nobody's going to know. Joshua 7, verse 3 and 5 says this. It says, and they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are few. Here we see that they have won a victory, and now because of pride, they have removed God out of their plans. Someone takes the accursed thing, and now they're filled with pride, and they think they can have victory without God. That's what they're saying. You notice here, they didn't go to God and ask him who we should bring or how many we should bring. Because of that victory that they got, let me just say this, that victory came in God. That victory over there in chapter 6, the wall of Jericho, that came from God. He instructed them all to do, if you remember that in verse 19. He instructed them to do that. They listened, they went over there and they done it. God gave them victory. Here they didn't even go to God. Here they didn't even go to God. They just said, hey, Brother G, why don't you just take 3,000 of those guys and we'll go over there. There ain't many of them over there. We'll beat them. That's that false sense of pride that the hidden accursed thing in your life does to you. It gives you a false sense of pride thinking that you're okay and you're not. That's what it do. You can see a picture of that if you go through the New Testament. Mark chapter 9, I'm not going to get into it right now for time's sake. Mark chapter 9, the man who brings his son who's possessed with the devils, brings it to the disciples. My son has a devil. Can you cast them out? Guess what? They couldn't cast them out. You know why? A few chapters before that, Jesus Christ just gave them all power to heal, cast out devils and everything else. But you know what they forgot to do? When this man approached, they forgot to go to Jesus Christ in prayer and fasting. They said, we can do this on our own. We don't need Jesus anymore. He gave us the power to do this. We can do this on our own. Jesus walks up and said, what's the problem? I'm paraphrasing. What's the problem? The man says, these disciples can't cast out this devil. Jesus Christ doesn't rebuke them on the spot. He waits till they're alone.
And they approach Jesus Christ and they say, well, why? Why couldn't we cast out this devil? He says, some of these only come out by prayer and fasting. You have forgotten to include me in this. You think that you can go out there because I saved you, because I told you to go out there and preach the word, because I told you to go out there and soul win, because I told you to go out there and do what I asked you to do. Now you don't have to include me, and you think that you can just do it on your own. Guess what? You'll be a failure. You know, that's a hidden curse thing in your life. You're going to be just like this children of Israel here in the book of Joshua. You think that you're going to go after that victory without God, and God's going to be the one to give you victory, not yourself. It's going to be a miserable failure, as you're going to see here. Verse 4 and 5, it says, so they went up thither of the people, about 3,000 men. And they fled before the men of Ai. Verse 5, and the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men. Why? For they chased them from before the gate of Sherebim and smote them in the going down. Wherefore, the hearts of the people melted and became as water. You see, they failed. They failed miserably because they left God out of the equation. Because they got that pride in their life. And they had that hidden, accursed thing in the camp. Oh, that's just like us today. That is just like us today to think
God can't see what I'm doing. You're right. We may hide it one from another, but it will be exposed. God will expose it.
And you know what? It's not a bad thing when God does expose it, because I believe God has given that person an opportunity. He's given them an opportunity before the destruction comes. He's given the opportunity to go out there and make that thing right before the destruction comes. What a merciful God to do that. What a wonderful God to give a person a chance to go and make that right. Because it could have been just destruction immediately. God won't give victory in our lives. Listen to me. God will not give us victory in our lives with a hidden, accursed thing. He's not going to do it when somebody doesn't want to see it, when somebody doesn't want to give that thing up, when somebody doesn't want to stop it. God's not going to give victory in it. He's going to drag us. Let me just say something for anybody, for people in here that are going through anything. Don't pray that God gets you out of it. Pray that God gets you through it. You'll learn more going through it than you ever will going out, getting out of it. God, help us to change our prayers. Always wanting to get out of things. You know, God allows things to happen in our lives for a reason, for a purpose. And you know what? When we seek Him, it becomes clear. You know when we want to get out of it? When we're not seeking God. When we're not reading the Bible. When we're not coming to church. We want God to get us out of this thing. But I'm telling you now, if you're seeking God and you're in prayer and you're going to church and you're reading your Bible, you'll ask God that the whole attitude to change. And you'll say, God, get me through this thing, not out of it. Get me through this thing, not out of it. I want to go through this thing with you, Lord. Help me get this hidden, accursed thing out of my life. They tried to get victory without God. Pride made them puffed up, and they tried to handle it themselves. Their sin was in the camp. There's sin in the camp now. And Christians, you know that God has given you a victory. And sometimes we can take that victory, and when God gives that victory, we start forgetting about God. We think, all right, I got victory over this thing. Cool, man. I don't have to seek Him as much. I don't have to pray as much. I don't have to do the fasting and the praying as much. I can skip church once in a while. My Bible reading can go off for 2 or 3 days. Oh, God forbid with that kind of attitude. You know what you need to do? I don't know who said it. Maybe Pastor G said it. I picked up on it. When one battle's over, prepare for the next one. When you're in the time of peace, that doesn't mean that a battle isn't going to come. Start preparing for it. Start praying. Stay diligent in seeking. Stay in the prayer. Stay in church. Stay in your face. We need people who are going to pray. Lord, help us to get back to prayer. Lord, help us to be able to tug on the ear of God and say, Lord, we need this. But He won't do it with that hidden, accursed thing in our life. God, help us. I just want to note here when we get back to Joshua chapter 7, we're going to read verses 10 and 11. But I want to note that God used the man of God and His word to show people. You understand? God used a man. He called a man of God. He brought a man of God to this church, the Gospel Light Baptist Church. That is your pastor, Pastor G. God called and set him in this place for you to listen to. He set him in this place because, listen, He's given Pastor G a word. He's given him something for you. It's important, God. Put him here. We ought to support him. We need to back him up. We need to pray for him. We need to get out there as He taught on the soul winning and win some people to this place. Fill these pews up.
Right.
They should desire what you have in your life. What are they seeing? How come they're not knocking down your door to get in? Are they seeing you or are they seeing Jesus?
God help that they see Jesus in us. They don't need to see us. They need to see the hope that's in Jesus Christ.
Right.
You know what? When them people start seeing the hope of Jesus Christ, they'll fill these pews up themselves.
But when they're looking at us out there, and when they're looking at us walking around all mopey and getting beat up all the time, they don't see any victory in our lives because we won't get rid of those things in our lives. It's not a wonder that every church in America is not empty.
Right.
Amen.
God help us. Joshua chapter 7, verse 10 and 11 says, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. Wherefore liest thou upon thy face? They gave up. They're laying down. They're like, that's it. It's over with. We're done. And the man of God, God comes to the man of God and says, get up. Yeah, don't you lay down. Get up. Hey, Gospel Light Baptist Church, get up. Yeah. Get up and get out there. Get up and get these people in here. Get up and get these people to fill these pews up. Get up and show them Jesus Christ. Don't lay down there. Verse 11 says, Israel hath sinned. They've also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and disassembled also, and they have even put it among their own stuff. How about that? Hey, you know what's going on in Christian churches today? They're trying to take the worldly stuff and call it Christianity. They're trying to mingle what God has called us to be separate, and they're bringing the world in and calling it Christianity. And God says that's an accursed thing. That you're bringing this thing upon your own stuff. It's not what I separate. It's not what I sanctify. Who was that accursed thing for? For God. It wasn't an accursed thing until a human being touched it. Once a human being touched it, guess what? It became an accursed thing. That stuff was sanctified unto God. Hey, this church is sanctified unto God. What are you trying to bring in it? Don't bring the world in here. God doesn't want the world in here. This is a respite from the world. This is a respite for souls that are hurting, sin-sick people that are dying and going to hell. That's what the Gospel Light Baptist Church is. For them souls to come in and find that salvation, to get saved and have a transformed life. That's what God wants. That's what God wants. You know what? God has put the perfect man of God in Gospel Light Baptist Church for that job. If not, he wouldn't be here. I believe that with all my soul. This is where most sinners are today. They can't see the hidden accursed thing in their life. They're unaware of it. They want to be saved their way. They want to be saved their way. Hey, we can walk there and we can tell them, hey, this is the way to salvation. This is the way to get a new life. This is the way to get away from all that torture and all that pain and all that suffering. This is the way. They want to try to bring their filth in for salvation. It will never happen. Oh, my friends. God would have never told a little wet lie to save me from hell. Right. And he's not going to save a person who wants to come their way. We can't bring the accursed thing in with you. You have to leave it out. Amen. You can't bring it in with you. You have to leave it out. It's not going to be your way. It's going to be God's way. And you know what? God is so patient. He's so merciful to work with the person. God is striving every day. God will not compromise his righteousness to do so. They remain lost until God has opened their eyes. You know, oh God, let me just say something. If you're lost in here today, if you're dying and going to hell even today, you know what? God's mercy has got you in this church. He's let you live another day. You realize that? That God has given us another day. Another day to live. One more chance. You know, the book of Revelation talks about, remember I told you about Proverbs 20:27, that God puts a candle in all that inside every person, and he uses that to expose the inner parts of the belly, right? That deep, most inner secret thing that you won't let anybody in. You don't even let God in there. You know what? In the book of Revelation, God gets tired of it. You know what he does? He blows that candle out. He says, no more of that candle shine in thee, and no more will you hear the voice of the bridegroom in you. Pastor, could you imagine if you stop hearing the voice of the bridegroom in you? If he takes that candle and blows it out, that's it. It's over with. You're going to go to eternity like that. There's no more hope when it comes to that. It's over with. God's giving you a chance. Hey, are you playing Russian roulette with your soul? Are you going to try to spin it one more time tonight? Is that what you're going to do? Walk out these doors and spin it one more time and just see? Just maybe I'll try. Just maybe God will give me another day. I'm not going to play that game. Yeah. As for saved people, we argue with God. When we got saved, God slowly removed things out of our lives. And then when God shows us something that he doesn't want in our life, here's what we say to him. God, I've been doing this my whole Christian life, and you've been okay with it, so it must be okay still. And God says, no, it's not okay. I want it gone.
There's things in my life as an 8-year-old Christian that if Pastor G done it, Pastor G would be in trouble with God. There's things in my life that you can't do. There's things in your life as a saved person that God has allowed you to do up until this point that I could never do. And then when God puts his finger, you know what happens to Christians? Here, let me explain what I'm trying to tell you. When people get saved, they think it's all done and over with. Stephen, just because I got saved doesn't mean God's not going to change me. How am I going to get changed if God doesn't change? How am I going to get changed if God doesn't put his fingers on those accursed things and tell me, you know what, Dale? I'm not happy with you having that in your life anymore. But God, you've let me have it in my life. Dale, that's changing. You're getting more mature. You're growing up. I have a different plan for your life. You can't have that in there anymore. That's not allowed in your life anymore. But God, you let me. Dale, I'm telling you. You got to get it out. Well, you know, we stomp our feet and cry and fold our hands and everything else. And you guess who wins? God. You see, it's a funny thing when people get saved. They think it's all done and over with. Thank God it's not over with. Thank God he continues. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Present tense, are. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are. Present tense, become new. That means there's something going on inside of me right now as I speak. God's trying to rule those things he don't like, and he's putting in those things he does like.
Present tense. And I didn't need Greek and Hebrew to tell you that. I need a King James Bible. Could you imagine if some old knucklehead like me, some old gang member, a junkie alcoholic had to learn Greek or Hebrew to understand what the Bible was really trying to tell me? I'd be lost and dying and going to hell today.
Right. They said, well, it helps with a better understanding. Let me tell you what helps with a better understanding. Getting on your face before a holy God and opening that book and saying, Holy Ghost, you said you'd teach me. There's your better understanding. I got a 15-year-old, 14 going on 15, 11 going on a 12-year-old. You guys, listen, if you want a better understanding of God, we got to start learning Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic, okay? I barely speak English. I can barely understand the English language. You want me to? No, listen. Your King James Bible. God gave you a Bible. He gave you a perfect Bible that will tell you everything you need to know. Do you think my pastor comes here and sits at my table and teaches me how to be a husband? To teach me how to get those things out of my life? To teach me how to be a dad? No, you know who teaches me? The Holy Ghost at my kitchen table. When me and him are alone, I say, Lord, I need help with this. Would you show me? Yes, I'll show you. Here it is. Most of you know I got my doctorate. And thank God I didn't get my Bible doctorate from a college. Thank God. You know where I learned my Bible? Two places. The Bible says that our churches are the ground and pillar of the truth. The man of God gets out there and teaches us the Bible. That's where we learn it. Number two, you know where the best place of all is in my closet reading that Bible. Sitting at home with the Holy Ghost of God and let him teach me that word. I like books. I'm not against books. I read books. I got one question. How did that person who wrote the book learn it? Can God not teach you the same thing? Can he not show you the same thing?
Right.
I'm not saying don't read books. Please read them. They're good. I read them. There's books that I read. But what I'm saying, don't rely on them.
Don't rely on your book. Let me just say this. If I read a book or when I read a book, I have my Bible open. And I'm going to check what they're trying to tell me. You know why? Because I've noticed and I've learned that good Bible-believing, King James Bible believers have crept the NIV right into our books, right into our learning, right into our teachings, and I'm not putting up with it. I'm just not doing it.
Amen.
I don't need to learn their nonsense.
Their nonsense never did me any good.
And there's good books.
You know what? It's just, it's not that these people mean to, but they're just quoting from another man, who's quoting from another man, who's quoting from another man, who's quoting from another man. Hey, listen, grab your Bible, get your book, read it, and if it doesn't line up, if it's not in your Bible, it's not meant to be in there.
These are some of the hidden, cursed things that Christians are trying to bring into a church. God's not pleased with that. He's trying to get that stuff out. And we're trying to bring it in. That's where our comfort is, right? When God delivered Israel from Egypt and troubles came, where did they want to go? Back to Egypt. Back to slavery. Back to death. Back to bondage. Back to a life of hell. Hey, guess what? Guess what happens to us? God has to open our eyes. He's not no longer going to accept things in our lives. And many people, many Christians are trying to take the things of this world, the accursed things, and they're trying to fit them in the Christian life. James 4:4 says, ye adulterers and adulteress, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore is a friend of this world is an enemy of God. Let me ask you this, then why would you try to bring a worldly thing into the house of God? He don't want it in here. This is where we can come and get the world knocked off of us. This is where we can come and get the world knocked out of us.
Right.
God doesn't want us to bring it in here. You know how we bring it in here? The hidden, accursed things. We're hiding it from the preacher. We're hiding it from the deacons. We're hiding it from our parents. We're hiding it from our brothers and our sisters. Oh, and then God has to find the people out. And when God finds the people out, it's not always pretty. If they would have just done it themselves, if they would have just got on their knees and they were to seek God with all their heart, all their mind, all their body and their soul, and you know what? It could have prevented a whole lot more. You know, growing up hearing, but never listening.
Yeah.
Growing up hearing, but never listening. Growing up hearing, but despising. Growing up hearing, but not wanting it. You know, God's merciful. Let me just tell you, you may be a lost person in this room, and you may be standing there before an enemy of God, as an enemy of God, but he doesn't want that. See this? This proves that. This proves that he's made a way for you not to be an enemy anymore. He's made a way for you to be called the sons and daughters of God. He's made a way by the blood of Jesus Christ and the resurrection for you to be one with him. You don't have to be an enemy anymore. You can walk in here and say, this is my Father's house. This is my Father's house. Who could have? He could have put me in hell a long time ago.
Yeah.
But his mercy, 40 years,
thank
people.
Thank Jesus.
40 years. But you know what? You know why God spared me for 40 years? Number one, I never grew up with religion, so it was later in life that I ever got introduced to a Bible or anything. But you know what I never did? I never rejected it. I didn't understand it. I had no clue what I was doing. Anytime somebody would tell me about it, I didn't do that. I didn't reject it. God knew that one day I was going to search for the love of the truth. I was going to search for the love of the truth. I was going to become diligent, and he was going to be able to reward me with salvation. But I had to see that hidden, accursed thing that I was trying to bring to him, and he wouldn't let me bring it. I'm going to finish up here in a minute, but Joshua 7:13 says, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves against Moab. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, this is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away this accursed thing from you. Do you understand that? Listen, my friends. Listen, whether you're saved or if you're unsaved or whether you're saved, you can't stand. You won't stand. Listen, you're not going to have victory. You're not going to have this victory with the hidden accursed thing in your life. God will not move in our lives until we're ready to see that accursed thing in our life. Listen, I know it's painful. Salvation, the simplicity that's in Christ, that's so much the truth.
But getting to that point of salvation was my hardest thing. Because I'm a knucklehead. I'm a hardhead. I kept clinging on to worldly sorrow. You understand the difference between worldly sorrow and godly sorrow? Worldly sorrow worketh death. It's both spiritual and eventually physical. We always try to cling on to what somebody has done to us, okay? Bad things were done to me. I was molested, so on and so forth, abused, and we hold on to that. That's my safety. They ain't done this to me. And then when we go out there, people say, why do you do those things you do? Because they did this to me. Oh, that's the worldly sorrow, my friends. That ain't going to help you get to Jesus Christ. I clung on to that for many years. I clung on to that, and I tried to come to Jesus Christ without worldly sorrow, and he refused it. He rejected it. It's not the worldly sorrow that he was worried about, but Paul talks about godly sorrow that worketh repentance unto salvation, not to be repented of. It's what you've done against a holy God that matters. It's what you've done that made him go to that cross and shed his blood and die and be raised again on the third day. That's what matters. He can take care of the rest. I would sit there on the edge of my bed and say, why are you making me, why are you letting me live? You said there was going to be relief in this thing. Dale,
because you're worried about what you have done and you're worried about what others have done to you. I can take care of that if you'll just see what I have with you. Man, brother, you know what? I was saved just a few days after I seen that. After God showed me that about myself. I got saved just a few days after that, Pastor G. Because I realized this. It wasn't because I was a rebel against this world that mattered. It's because I was a rebel against the holy God and his commandments, his laws, his righteousness, his holiness. That's what I was a rebel against. And when I seen that, I got saved 8 years ago.
How about that? You know what? Salvation was easy. I got off the floor, I was saved. It was done. Yeah. It was getting to that part that was hard. You know why? Because I had that hidden accursed thing that kept by that pride thinking I'm okay. Oh, I'll just keep confessing the worldly things and I'll be okay. I was damned to hell. If you have hurt from people in your past, and you're lost and you're sitting in this church tonight. When you stand before a holy God and he says, why did you do those things? Well, because someone's, oh no. He's going to shake his head. You're going to bow your knee and say, he's the Lord of Lords, King of Kings. Those angels are going to come down. They're going to bound your hand and foot and they're going to cast you in hell. You can't blame somebody else. You can't put it on somebody else for what you did. That's the problem. And guess what? God took care of those things. He healed those things in my life. I don't take medications anymore. I don't have to go to see psychiatrists and psychologists. I don't have to go in mental hospitals. I don't have to go to rehabs and jails and prisons, anything, any of that more. Why? Because God took care of all that. When he took care of that, when I finally came to him and I seen that godly sorrow, and you know what it did? It worked repentance in my life unto salvation. I got saved and God took those things from me. That's what he did. But I had to see that hidden accursed thing. What is that hidden accursed thing in your life? What won't you let God in to see? You see what it's doing to your life. Don't let that pride damn you to hell. Let me just say this. Job 33:17 says that he, that God, may withdraw man from his purpose. Let me tell you something. God will get your attention if he's got to take you away from your purpose. He'll get your attention. And you know what it says here? He'll draw man from his purpose and hide pride from man. Do you see God has to hide pride from you in order for you to get to see what the problem is? Job 10:1-2, and I'm going to read that real quick and then I'm going to close it up. Job 10:1-2 says this, probably some of my favorite verses. It says, my soul is weary of my life. Are you at that point in your life where your soul is weary of it? Are you at that point where you're just like, I just don't know how much more I can handle. I don't know how much more I can take. My soul is weary of my life. I'm sick of this accursed thing. I'm sick of this sin that's in my life. And it says, I will leave my complaint upon myself. You don't have to leave that complaint upon yourself. There's a God who wants to hear that complaint. He wants to hear what you have to say. And here's what it says. I will speak, guess what? In the bitterness of my soul. The bitterness of your soul, because you can't get this thing repentance. Because you can't get this thing of salvation. Because I'm telling you, buddy, you're trying to bring it the wrong way. You're trying to come in the wrong way. You got to come in the right door. And Jesus Christ is that door. You won't come in any other way. You'll stay in the bitterness of your soul. Here's your prayer. Job 10:2 says this. I will say unto God, do not condemn me. Show me wherefore thou contendest with me. What is it, God? What is it? What is the issue that you have with me? What is the problem that you have with me? What are you trying to get me to see? Hey, that should be your prayer. Hey, if you care about anything about salvation, if you care anything about a changed life, let me just tell you this. You need to fall on your face. Hey, you better get to your car. You better get to wherever you're going. And I'm telling you, you better get on your face and you ask God, show me what it is, Lord. Show me so I can get this hidden, accursed thing out of my life. Show me so that we can take care of this. I don't want this anymore. And if let me just tell you this, if you don't have that desire, you're in a scary place. And if you don't think you're in a scary place, you have serious issues. How much longer? How much longer? For those of you who are just starting out, maybe we have some people in here who are just getting into this whole Christian thing, don't even understand God, don't understand what he's about, never been into the Bible. God is merciful unto a person that way. But to those who know better, to those who know how important is your soul. What is it that you gain the whole world? What is it? And lose your soul in hell. What is it? Is it worth it? These things here on earth are temporal. Eternity is eternity. That means it never ends. Where do you want to spend it? Hey, let me just say this. Just because you don't believe it don't mean it's not real. You want to play that Russian roulette? You want to play that? That's what you think about your soul? Is that what you think about your eternity? Hey, just because you don't believe it doesn't mean it's not real. You better ask God to show you, and he will. God will show you. He wants to show you. He's a merciful God. Hey, my friends, I just ask you to think about this tonight. What is that hidden, accursed thing in your life? Do you know it doesn't have to be something outwardly? And I'll just use this example, and I'm going to close. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus Christ is dealing with people. And so I use my children. I'll use Luke as an example. I'll say, Luke, I need you to go do such and such. And outwardly, Luke goes, okay, Dad, I'll go do it. But inwardly, he's cussing me out. There you go. There you go. That's what God's trying to show you. When you read something in your Bible or something comes across the preaching and you want to curse it out, be careful. You ain't got to be outwardly. You can look at me and smile on your face and be my friend, but inwardly, you're cussing me out. Hey, be careful. That's the hidden, accursed thing in your life. Please be in prayer for Liberty Behind Bars Ministry. Amen. Ask God that he would continue to open doors and use us if that's his will. And I thank you guys for being my friends. You guys are truly my friends. We love you guys. We love coming here and spending time. And obviously my friends from Black Creek and such, you know, we love them. And I thank you guys. Pastor G, I thank you for the time that you've given me. And if you want to close, I'm done, Pastor.
Okay, please fire your pass.